Good morning. Welcome to All Sides Weekend / the Arts. I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm delighted to introduce our panel. We're going to be here for the next hour, and we're going to talk about the arts in Central Ohio and perhaps environs with Cindy Gaylord, who is the producer of Art Scene for WOSU-TV. Welcome, Cindy Gaylord.
Thank you very much.
We were just talking about the brouhaha of parking here at the Fawcett Center and how some of us who live nearby may have to be walking to work again. Perhaps I'll see you in the park paths.
Absolutely dripping with the lovely humidity of Central
Indeed,
Ohio.
Yes, but we'll talk about the arts and have a good time. Joy Riley is WOSU's theater critic and professor of theater at The Ohio State University. And I have a play I want her to perform. We'll talk about that later. And Gerard Charles is the artistic director of Ballet Met. He is just back from a tour of Russia. In fact, he's just back from teaching about 15 minutes ago and made the dash to get here in time. Thank you very much,
You're
Gerard.
You're welcome. Never a dull moment at Ballet Met. We've
no.
got over 100 children from all over the country here right now studying for summer intensive for 5 weeks, so it's very busy.
And yet you look full of vim and vigor.
I am, yes.
That's terrific. The first thing I want to do is get from each of you what is, for lack of a better term, the buzz on the arts in Central Ohio now. We are not going to talk about the lousy economy because we know all about that. And my point has always been, apropos of that, that the arts continue to thrive whether or not there's money. More money's better, but right now the arts is thriving. So, Cindy Gaylord, what are you hearing? What's going on?
Oh, go to the Franklin Park Conservatory. You've got to see this wonderful outdoor sculptures that have been brought together by Torx Studios. Torx is a studio, industrial sculpture studio here in Central Ohio, and they have created these carnivorous sculptures that are just amazing because replicating plants, carnivorous plants. I'm not speaking it or talking about it very well. But
these plants eat people.
Yeah, there
yes.
you go.
Thank
That's
you.
It. And I think they're just amazing. And they have lights. They are shiny. They're wonderful. And kids can actually play with them robotically. And it's a lot of fun.
So they are robots.
Yeah. Well, there are some robotic components
so the,
to it.
The robot could eat the bad teacher that takes you on the field trip.
In something? Your mind, it can. Absolutely.
This is at the conservatory.
Franklin Park Conservatory on East Broad Street. Yes. Go. Have fun.
Joy Riley has brought us a stack of brochures and things and has got us all very well prepared in the last 10 minutes of what's going on in theater and the arts in Central Ohio. Give us a précis. Let's not spend the whole show. I want to come back to you, but give us a précis of what's...
A précis.
A précis, yes, pardon me.
Lots of change.
Professor.
Lots of change, lots of experimentation, lots of community cooperation, collaboration, new stuff. Lots of problems with money, and then we have some wonderful commercial stuff coming. And, of course, the big buzz is Wicked is back for a whole month, and the tickets are going.
I bet they are. You're going to tell us more about Wicked a little bit later because I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about it. Talk about buzz. That show's been buzzing for about 10 years now in New York. People have flocked to it. It's been running forever on Broadway, and that's not because it's not popular. So it must be something well worth seeing and experiencing. Now, Gerard Charles, Ballet Met, you've said that you've got 100 and some children here right now doing a summer intensive workshops with you, and you're just back from Russia. So where to begin with you?
Well, there's certainly no downtime at Ballet Met. There's lots of downtown. We are there. But Ballet Met is certainly always very creative, I think. And I think that's true of the arts in general in Columbus. Good or bad times, the creativity is really what keeps us alive. It's certainly much easier to create when you've got some resources to work with. Good news is PNC has announced major funding for the arts, and I think that's a great sign of faith from them in our community, and we welcome them very strongly for that, and kudos to them. As we look forward to our season, there's certainly a lot of new work that we're presenting. It's one of the exciting things that keeps our art form alive, and it also helps attract the best professionals to Columbus to dance. So I'm very excited about everything that's coming up. I'm certainly very busy planning all those things. The company starts back on August 2nd. I know people don't see our performances until October, but there's a tremendous amount of work that goes on with the dancers in rehearsals before them. And actually, we have a free performance on Labor Day weekend out at Cosi on the riverfront there.
People sometimes are a little bit misled when they don't see performances like on main stages that you're not working, but you just made the point that it never stops preparing for performances and classes and teaching. And I'm sure that's true with our orchestras and our theater companies, and people are working all the time. They're
Indeed.
Working themselves into ecstasy, hopefully, but
yes.
not all of it is always seen by the public.
Correct. And, when we've got a choreographer creating a piece, they're not doing that in their apartment and writing it down on a piece of paper and then giving it to us to learn. But they're actually creating it there in real time in the studio with us. So that's quite a process to go through. And we've got plenty of new work this year.
I tried to get you, Gerard, on this program a couple of months ago, and I was told, forget it, he's in Russia. So apparently you and several of your dancers made a tour of Russia. You were in St. Petersburg and Moscow. Tell us.
It was a wonderful experience. It was nerve-wracking as all heck, because Moscow and St. Petersburg are the home of classical ballet as we know it today. And so to be bringing our company from Columbus, Ohio, we'll all be humble. It was amazing. We were in full of anticipation about what does this mean. The performances that we had in Moscow were in the theater right next door to the Bolshoi. The Bolshoi were performing the same time as us in the theater next door to us. Tremendous amount of history right there. And then, of course, St. Petersburg with the Mariinsky Theater. Five different versions of Swan Lake were being performed in St. Petersburg at the time we were there. We did not do Swan Lake. We were part of an international dance festival, and we actually, every program of the festival, we opened and closed the program, and another company performed in the middle of the program. And it was an amazing experience. We didn't know what to expect. Certainly, there were a lot of traditions of their theater and the way they work that were different than we're used to. But the reception of the audiences, we had 24 curtain calls for one piece. it got to the point where I guess we're going to do it again.
Well, you should have, yes. Yeah. Tell me about the audiences that came to see you dance.
The audiences are a real cross-section. An opening night in Moscow, I know that there were people from the Bolshoi there, from their ballet staff, who were there, as well as many critics. We had a fascinating press conference before that first performance where the critics were there. And they really get into it. They had very in-depth discussions about not just what we were performing, but why one would perform that and what kind of dances around the world were doing. And, it got very heated between themselves. Unfortunately, I don't speak much Russian, like none. But the translations that I was receiving was they were going really at it. They were passionate about their dance.
But that's great, though. People are almost
fighting
and, over interpretations of things. Yes, Cindy, go ahead.
I was just wondering, what were the pieces that you performed?
We performed a variety of things that were created for Ballet Met. We did There Below that James Kadelka had created for us, which is probably the closest to a classical piece. And then we did a Testify, which was one of the Jazz Moves pieces, as well as Topsy from that same program.
Topsy was very popular, apparently, over there.
Yes.
People really flocked to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also Play of Stanton Welch's. And so, it was a very of today American dance stuff that we did. Stuff. Isn't that a wonderfully technical and artistic word to use?
Joy, I wanted to ask you a question as well. Go ahead. Let me make your point. But how important is touring?
Touring is important.
Okay.
Touring is very important. The Broadway series touring to Columbus is very important, both for Broadway and for Columbus.
But how important it is for
that touring, it's exceptionally important. It's representing the United States.
Right.
So this, we're talking about global significance. I wanted to ask you about these audiences. What is it that makes them such amazing audiences?
I think they have probably been exposed to so much dance over a period of time. They really do know what they're going to see. I don't think they were as I noticed with a lot of American audiences, they maybe don't see much dance, and they get nervous that maybe they won't say the right thing or won't know how to react. I don't think that is a problem. I think you should react honestly to anything you see. Some of our best audiences are actually the children that come and see us because they don't care what they say. It's a wonderfully honest reaction. And I think that as adults, sometimes we go, I wonder if I should say this right, or, it doesn't matter. Come and enjoy it. And I think that's true of all the arts. You may connect to it. You may not connect. That's not a problem for you. It's just, like some people you like, some people you don't like. And I think that's the same with art.
There's no such thing as an incorrect reaction. It's your reaction.
Correct.
And you should feel free to express whatever that is.
And, of course, we think back to Shakespeare's audiences.
Oh, yes.
Where they were extremely interactive and quite violent if they didn't like it, throwing all kinds of garbage and stuff
at the
stage.
In Italy,
People are passionate about this.
And I'd love to find those days again. Do you find that kind of passion, Cindy Gaylord, in audiences? as you go around doing your work and producing TV?
Well, I can only attest to the passion that was actually in New York when I followed Ballet Met when you went over to the Joyce Theater the last time. It is a difference in education, though. I think that our society, culture, does tend to do a lot more video games, a lot more consumption of arts through the through television. It's a different thing when you actually go into a theater. And I think New York audiences, certainly global audiences, have a difference of just going to the theater, whereas in America we don't go to the theater as much. Is that right, Joy? I mean, I think we love it when it comes. Like when Wicked comes, we love those tickets. Please let me have some tickets to Wicked anywhere, please.
And it's a special event, and everybody gets very excited. But, of course, we have a lot of local theater, and we have the Wexner Center, and we have some wonderful local, when I say local theater companies, these are people who very often have worked in New York and have chosen to make Columbus their home because they want that lifestyle.
But it's a difference between consuming art and absolutely loving it and understanding art.
Needing art. Being
exactly.
fed by art. Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Being fed by art. Yeah. And that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's
well,
a difference.
I'm really concerned actually about the perception of how important art is at this particular time. I'm finding that with the emphasis on science and math, which I know is extremely important, and we all know is extremely important, it's sort of like the arts are sort of at the bottom of the pile, and they are, and this happens cyclically. I mean, it does happen. It's happened before. It's sort of, it's a time for the arts, and then all of a sudden we get some kind of federal money or that. But right now is not good in terms of the perception of the arts by people who don't go, who don't participate in the arts or don't participate in, say, live production, which is what you're talking about.
But is it hard to explain to people when you yourself are passionate and connected, whether or not you depend upon it for your living, is it hard to explain that passion to somebody who doesn't really have it, who might be a casual attendee? Is it even necessary to explain it? But is it – I'm having a hard time now being articulate, but I have a hard time articulating that, telling people why it's important to me personally.
I think it's quite hard unless you start as a child.
Yeah.
If you if you expose your children to playing, doing theatrical kinds of things, and there is a lot of that now, and there's a lot of interactive with technology and performance, and the kids are getting very interested now in being performers on YouTube and that kind of thing. So there is a lot of that. But it is difficult if you leave it until people are adults. We try very hard in college still to do that.
Hold that thought. When we come back, we want to pursue this. And also, Joy, I want to ask you about theater at The Ohio State University. We have some people already on the line. I appreciate your holding. We're coming back in 1 minute. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, the arts here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On your drive home, get local updates with the award-winning WOSU News Team.
HIV drugs are expensive. The Columbus AIDS Task Force helps foot the bills, but the assistance program is being strained as the number of people using it has doubled since 2005.
We cannot continue to sustain our program with that influx of new clients.
Hear the latest in local and national news with All Things Considered on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. 80 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. A chance of showers and thunderstorms today, cloudy skies and a high of 88. Partly cloudy tonight and a low right around 65. Mostly sunny for Saturday and a high of 89. Partly cloudy Saturday night, a low around 70 degrees. And then sunny again for Sunday and a high near 90. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're back for this edition of All Sides Weekend. Today, talking about the arts with Cindy Gaylord from WOSU's Art Scene, with Joy Riley, who is WOSU's theater critic and professor of theater at The Ohio State University, and Gerard Charles, who is the artistic director of Ballet Met. And we have a friend who's been on hold for a while, and I'm sorry you've waited so long, Alan, who wants to talk about the theater competition in honor of Eileen Heckert. Alan, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Christopher. How are you all this morning?
Fine. Go ahead.
Well, Eileen Heckert was, of course, a Columbus native and an OSU alumna who's one of those actresses everyone doesn't recognize the name, but when they see the face, they say, oh, of course. She was Mary Tyler Moore's Aunt Flo. Yeah. She was awful to Eddie Albert in Butterflies for Free. She mourned a lost child in The Bad Seed. And she appeared, she won a Tony, she won an Oscar, she won every possible award. And after her death in 2001, we created the Eileen Heckert Drama for Seniors competition in her honor and memory. And every other year we've done the competition. This year we had 510 plays submitted in categories 1 act, 10 minutes, and full length. And on the Saturday the 25th, we'll be doing a reading of the winning play in the full length category called Not for the Ferryman, which is... It stars a couple of very well-known local people. Kathy Berkman is playing a role, as is Linda Dorf, who works at Ketco. Kathy is, of course, the artistic director of Women at Play, which was around for a long time. And Chris Matsos, who just got his doctorate in theater at Ohio State, is playing a role, as is an undergraduate, Carolyn Kutry. And Truman Winbush is a well-known local actor, is also in the cast. And the playwright will be coming in from New York for the reading. So that's at 7 on the 25th at the Drake Performance and Event Center on campus.
Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay. I'm here to tell you these readings are fascinating. So if you're around, don't miss this opportunity to hear new work given a premiere, at least a local premiere performance. Alan, thank you very much for your call.
Can I also comment one thing on the audience sophistication?
Sure.
People will recall that maybe 10 years ago, Twyla Tharp was in residence here. At the Wexner Center for 3 years. And for reasons that I'm not going to get into now, I followed her around on her tour with Mikhail Brishnikov that she premiered here and then traveled around. And because she'd been here so often, there was a piece in which for her and Brishnikov, which was full of quotes from their other work. And it was very funny. The audiences in Columbus got it because they had seen so much of her work. The audiences in Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and in Cincinnati, where I also saw the performances, didn't get it. So our audiences can indeed be sophisticated if they have the right opportunities to get the experience.
Alan, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you all.
Look forward to the 25th. Thank you very much. The Ohio State University has a lot of great theater going on just about all the time. I know they're doing Aida next year, the Andrew Lloyd Webber show. They're doing Shakespeare. And I wanted to ask you, Joy, about the Actors Theater going on right now in the park, speaking of Shakespeare.
Oh, yes. Actors Theater has Much Ado About Nothing. You've seen it, Cindy?
Oh, I was there last weekend, and it was absolutely wonderful. They had the set, very minimalist. Very nice. And then they have – I've never seen this before. I've been to Shakespeare in the Park every year. But I haven't seen this is that they have the audience – it's in the round. And it was just fantastic. It was so good.
And they also had Treasure Island earlier, the Ken Ludwig adaptation of
People
the Robert
that.
Louis Stevenson. Yes, it was the buzz was very hot about that. And I want to mention that Dark of the Moon is going to be presented.
Everybody's favorite play, yes.
August the 5th through September the 5th, also at Actors Theatre.
This is in Schiller Park,
In Schiller Park. And there we have a sort of an Appalachian witch boy and the legend of Barbara Allen, the ballad. That Dark of the Moon, and it should be very popular at this time.
These are free as well, aren't they?
They are free. They do encourage you to donate something so that they can go on being free.
So they can go on being free, yes.
And some people are very generous and are able to give more to sort of balance that out.
But let's face it, programs like this are how the theater builds community, I would think, because you are bringing a lot of people together in an outdoor setting or sort of a casual setting. I'll bet they have a lot of people there who don't normally go to the theater. This may address the points that we made earlier.
What was interesting, though, is that I had two or three people behind me actually quoting
Oh, really?
As they were going on. It was great. It was in stereo. It was in the, yeah. It was just absolutely funny. So, the only other thing I wanted to mention there is get there early. Definitely get there early.
What do you mean by early?
Oh, gosh. They were at 7. We got there at like 7:45. So you want to get there like by 7. I think at least an hour early.
Okay.
You know, bring your dinner.
Bring a picnic and
sit, have a good time.
It's a pretty park. It's a pretty
gorgeous
setting.
Park, yes. And the breeze comes by. You love it. It's wonderful.
Okay. The number to call right now, we'd like to encourage some phone calls and some email, 614-292-8513. Again, the number is 614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org, talking with Gerard Charles from Ballet Met, Joy Riley from The Ohio State University and WOSU, and Cindy Gaylord from WOSU. We're all here talking about the arts in Columbus. What are you interested in? What are you looking forward to? What would you like to see come to Columbus? Let us know. 292-8513. What does Ballet Met do performance-wise in the summer? Or are you just hunkered down teaching and working all the time? Because I know you don't have you're not drawing a lot of free breath right now.
Yeah. Well, the professional company is off for the months of June and July. We do have, as I say, these students with us right now. They are creating pieces that they will be performing at the end of their 4 or 5 week sessions with us. And that, I think, is a very important part of the program that we have. We teach them technique classes every day, but it's important for them to actually present their technique in a theatrical setting. And so luckily now we have our performance space and they will be performing that. The first time that the company will be seen in public will be, as I say, the first weekend in September when we'll have the free show out at COSAI. And that's in association with Waterfire. And so that usually draws a very good crowd. We had like over 2,000 people last year. And it's a very exciting performance, gives everyone a chance to see and happen upon dance. And I think that's very important. These kind of outdoor opportunities are a wonderful chance for audiences to just happen by. If they like it, it's great. If not, you know, they haven't risked a whole lot. And it's amazing how many people do see these performances and do go, wow, I didn't realize that's what theater was or dance was or whatever it happens to be.
You get those light bulb moments. I think we all live for those moments that people really get – they clue in right away at some point. And it happens a lot. So it's people.
It happened with me too. I cannot say that I was a great art consumer as a child. I mean, I was like, oh, I have to go to the theater with my parents. But, you know, at some point it made sense to me and it really is an important part of my life. And I'm not talking just about the work I do but also going to see other people.
And I was taken to the Boston Symphony probably in a horse and buggy when I was 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, that basically did it for me as well. So
I think it's wonderful that Actors Theater, for instance, is free.
Yes.
And those you talked about, Gerard, that free performance. And I want to mention another free performance.
Please
because
do.
I think those are that give create new audiences because people are able to go there. And I'm talking about Shadowbox Cabaret. First of all, Shadowbox, if I can say it even, Shadowbox Cabaret has a whole bunch of things happening right now, like next week, and including that free performance that I want to mention. But at the moment, the Best of Shadowbox is playing at Easton through August the 28th. But on Sunday, August the 1st, it is coming to Schiller Park. So this is what I'm talking about, new collaborations happening. Coming to Schiller Park at 7 p.m., and we know that Shadowbox eventually wants to come back downtown. I mean, that is their plan. And they are bringing Back to the Garden to the park. It's going to be free. There's going to be an all-day kind of experience, a sort of a Woodstock experience in the park all day in Schiller Park. And I thought that was wonderful. And one other thing that I'd like to mention about them is that they have their Shadowbox Sketch Comedy Festival next week. It's on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and that is not free because it's extremely popular. And I think it's sketch comedy and rock and roll, and they bring in, I think it's about 7 or 8 comedy clubs from around the country, professional comedy clubs, and they've got 2 local non-college comedy clubs, and they compete at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, and then some of them return on Wednesday. And this is the second year. They started it last year.
And Shadowbox is also extremely busy writing music for me right now because we're collaborating on a production at the end of our season. And as it happens, 3 of the choreographers are coming in August and September, and so they're creating new music for that right now.
What kind of a piece? Are you allowed to give
us any hint? It's the Seven Deadly Sins is the theme, and each choreographer is creating a different sin. So I've got a lot of sinful choreographers coming in and fulfilling their desires.
Talk about marketing. Sinners and Others can't miss this production from Ballet Med and Shadowbox. That's terrific. Shadowbox does a lot of improvisation. Am I right?
It does a lot of improvisation and, of course, music. And it's also doing a lot of outreach into the community. I mean, it is working very hard. It's doing a lot with high school students. In fact, I know in this particular production of Back to the Garden, they're bringing in, I think, the group that worked with them at Metro School, also as part of the performance team. Yeah, they do a lot of improv and
they're always fun. They're
and
always,
creating original stuff.
They're always stimulating at the very least, Shadowbox.
Yeah.
They're always
yeah.
worth going
yeah.
to. 292-8513 is the number to call. That's a 614 number. If you'd like to join the conversation, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the arts in Central Ohio and environs. And I wanted to mention Waterfire. You mentioned that earlier, Gerard. Waterfire is something that's taken off here in Columbus, and it is coming up June 25th on Friday with a performance by the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. It's downtown on the river. People gather in Genoa Park, and they look at this display on the river of fire. And this is something that I happen to know because I have relatives there that pretty much single-handedly turned the economy in Providence, Rhode Island around. It had people flocking downtown for a couple of years to really enjoy this. People are very, very turned on by this spectacle of the fire of the bath, these iron baskets of fire on the river. They are things that a lot of performing arts organizations peg on to. They're picnicking again. It's a summer event, although in Rhode Island they were doing it in February and people were still coming down all the time to see it. They're going to be with the Columbus Jazz Orchestra on Friday the 25th. Also, the Central Ohio Brass Band will be in August, the Dwight Lennox Jazz Band, Ballet Metz there September 3rd, Opera Columbus September 17th. So go on down and look at Waterfire. I'm sure you can just Google Waterfire Columbus and the whole schedule will be there. Before. Anybody seen it? I haven't seen it. Have you?
We've participated in for the last 3 years, I think it's been. And it is a wonderful, you know, just something about watching fire. I mean, we all do that at home, I think. You know, it's like, wow. And then, you know, to have a beautiful night and have that with some music or dance in front of that is really quite a great
bonfire
evening.
Is very evocative.
Yes, yes, indeed.
But when said with that voice.
Speaking in a way of
I've sat around bonfires.
Speaking in a way of fire, let's touch upon Wicked, Joy
Wicked.
Ride. Wicked is coming back to town. This has been a Broadway hit for many, many years, and people cannot get enough of this show. It's hugely popular. What is Wicked, for those who don't know?
Well, it's based on it's about the witches. The Witches of Oz, and it's what happened before the Wizard of Oz, and it's also based on a novel, and one of the reasons I think it is so popular, I don't know, you've seen it, Cindy?
I've only read the book.
One of the reasons I'm looking at a quote here from USA Today, which I think is interesting. It says, "Remember the last time an original Broadway musical made you laugh, cry, and think? Wicked is the most complete and completely satisfying new musical in a long time." And I think that for a commercial product, I think that's very true. I think it does do all those things. It gives you it's a very satisfying, very aesthetically pleasing musical. And it's coming back to the Ohio Theater.
July 28th.
Yeah, for a whole month.
Right.
So if you're interested in – and it's the sort of start of the new season – for Broadway Across America, which Kappa is managing and I think managing.
I'm obviously,
trying to remember. Sometimes they manage, sometimes they present, and occasionally they produce.
Well, there are logos on this brochure, so I think they're very much involved, and obviously they're doing a very good job because this show is a huge hit everywhere. You still, years on, it's hard to get tickets to it in New York, so I'm assuming they're going fast here in Columbus. So
yes. Yes, I know. I was talking to Rolanda Copley, the publicist for them, and she said, yes, it's doing very well. And so get your tickets for that soon. And Anne is going to be hosting All Sides with Anne Fisher. She's going to be having some of the performers on.
Fantastic.
For a call-in program.
We'll look forward to that. People are calling 292-8513. Give us a call right now. We've got a few people on hold. Let's talk with John. John wants to talk about the Wexner Center's rotating theater program. John, hello.
And I apologize if you've already discussed this, but I'm on the emailing list, and I assume that most of the programs you've been talking about that folks can get email that alert them to the programs that are coming into town. But the Wexner Center has a variety of different, like, plays and things, some of which the Wexner Center, I guess, is a sponsor for a collaborator with for creating the programs that will come into town and just be in town for a weekend or a week on some performances during the week and on the weekend, and just a variety of different things I've seen that are, you know, sort of at the leading edge, and things that have come in from England, and just a wide variety of different things, a lot of theater experiences I've not had before.
John, thanks for that call. Joy, can you want to comment on that?
Well, John, I so much agree with you.
Gotcha.
The Wexner Center has really changed the face of Columbus in terms of bringing us very much into the contemporary scene, and we are so lucky to have the Wexner Center here, because we get to see things that when I then go to New York or I'm over in England and they're bringing in the shows there, and I can say, well, I saw this one being created at the Wexner Center, because of course the Wexner Center also, not only is it a presenting organization, but it's also a producing organization. It provides monies to create new works. And it absolutely, for me personally, I don't know about you other guys, mm-hmm. It stimulates me. Sometimes the first time I ever saw a show there, I had the faintest idea what I was seeing. And since that time, I hate to miss it, because it really informs me and pulls me in all kinds of directions.
Which I think is the role of the arts at its most provocative, to really kind of tug us around. Am I not correct? Yeah. Gerard Charles, we had an email, a bit of a fan letter for you. A lady is emailing us from Minneapolis. She's listening to our show right now because her daughter is here studying with you at Ballet Met.
Wonderful.
And she is saying, it sounds like the arts in Central Ohio are thriving. Her other daughter is performing in Minneapolis and Oliver. Support for and love of the arts indeed begins at an early age. Polly, thank you very much for your email from Minneapolis. And thank you, Gerard, for bringing them here. We have Patty on the phone, who's going to talk about the children's theater production of The Producers. Patty, hello.
Hello. Well, speaking of introducing the arts to children or kids, the children's theater always does really nice work, but especially the summer productions that they do for older kids with college age or college graduates. I think The Producers is this month. Last summer, I took two of my teenagers to Rent, and it was really well done. The vocalists were outstanding. My kids were completely engaged, and they're taking groups of teenagers to go see The Producers this summer.
Yes, absolutely. The Columbus Children's Theater has been around a long time here. They tour some of their productions to overseas, so they've been the quality of their work is really very, very fine. And certainly those summer productions that you talk about of the sort of high school and college, beginning college-age students are just tremendous.
Where do they perform? Where are these performances?
Well,
The Producers, I think, is downtown, isn't it, at the Children's Theater space.
Okay.
Right,
yes.
By the North Market. So
I think they're usually there, unless they're going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival or somewhere like that.
And they may very well do that. Yes. So that's terrific. Mm-hmm. I've heard wonderful things about The Producers, Patty, and I thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate
thank
that.
All of you.
Thank you. The number again is 292-8513. You can send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. In just a moment, we're going to take a break for 90 seconds. A P.S., we've had an email from our producer, Amy Jurevich, who says about Wicked, it is fabulous. I have seen it twice. So I think they should comp you in for a third time, Amy, if you don't mind my saying so. Again, 292-8513. We will be back in 90 seconds to talk further with Cindy Gaylord from ArtZine WOSU, with Joy Riley, who is WOSU's theater critic and professor of theater at The Ohio State University, and the very busy, slightly sweaty and hassled Gerard Charles from Ballet Met, who's just back from Russia. He's teaching a lot of children as we speak and looking forward to a big season coming up. Lots more to talk about. Stay tuned.
Harvey Pekar captured the everyday in his underground comics.
I was like sort of on a mission with American Splendor, too. I wanted to try to prove that comics could do things. I wanted to expand them beyond superheroes and talking animals.
Remembering Harvey Pekar. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Hungry for more than just headlines and short sound bites about our community? Watch Columbus on the Record for in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis of issues and stories affecting Columbus and Central Ohio. Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU TV. 82 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41. A chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Cloudy skies, a high of 88. Partly cloudy tonight, a low right around 65. Mostly sunny for Saturday and a high of 89. Looking ahead to Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 90. And a chance of rain moves in Sunday night. Join Ira Glass and the master storytellers of This American Life on WOSU 89.7 FM. NPR News and classical music. Tune in for This American Life, Sunday afternoons at 4. And All Sides Weekend continues right here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy with Gerard Charles from Ballet Met, Joy Riley, WOSU's theater critic, and Cindy Gaylord from ArtZine. 292-8513 is the number to call. Gerard Charles, I do something you don't know I do, and you'll probably call the cops now that I'm going to tell you. But sometimes if I'm downtown, I walk into Ballet Met during the day unannounced because, and I hang around in the lobby for a little bit because I love the buzz in that building. And no matter when you go in there, there's always rehearsals going on. You can always hear work, activity, music, dance. If I were looking at it, I probably would not understand what I was seeing, but I just love the environment there. So you work in a very blessed environment, in my opinion.
I'm fortunate. There's always a lot of energy in the building, and I think what's
a lot of work in the building.
Yes, and I think one of the things that when people think about Ballet Met, it's always hard to explain in one sentence what we do because, of course, we have a very huge and very successful season of professional dance, but we also have a lot that goes out into the schools. We have a tremendous education director, Amber Emery Mayer, and she's done some wonderful programming now that connects the academic subjects to the arts. And of course, there's numerous studies that show how well the arts benefit regular educational learning. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I've been reading about recently, too, in this whole debate about whether you should be teaching the arts or teaching science and everything like that. Creativity is such an important part of who we are as humans, and it allows us to do all these talents that people are craving so much better. We have students, and I think, you know, I should throw it in the students that we have. Not only do we teach these pre-professional students, but we also have classes for ages from 3, dancing mommy and me, up until senior citizens. And so anyone is not too old or too young to dance. And, you know, your goals are different. You know, we can do all sorts of things. But one of the incredible things is that with the pre-professional students that we have, they're carrying full loads of schoolwork along with coming to Ballet Met for 3-4 hours a day, 6 days a week. And these are the kids that are the valedictorians in their classes. They're the ones that are getting there's this one girl who I loved, and I offered her a job in the company. She said, "I'm sorry, I can't take it. I got a free ride to Harvard."
You should have called me a year ago before I applied to Harvard. Thank you very much. But that's terrific. That makes the point where that, you know, you're serving wide spectrums of the community. You said you're also working with the elderly, with senior citizens.
Yes.
Yes. People need to move physically. I think as we age, we do need to sort of move more.
And I feel at my best when I'm actually teaching class. I'm physically moving around, and, you know, whatever stress and strains there are of a day, you know, it just makes you feel better, get your blood moving, and especially if you're thinking creatively at the same time. It's not just calisthenic exercise, but you're involving all of yourself.
I want to say one thing before I get to Cindy Gaylord, who has something from a gallery I want to talk about. But I want to make a point of congratulating Opera Columbus, who have just recovered from a devastating financial situation. They have worked like dogs to fix this and to get the community behind them. And they produce some very, very good product as well. And they do wonderful outreach work. And they are now, as I understand it, in the black. And they have done that because they've worked so hard and people have deservedly supported them. So my congratulations to Opera Columbus for really weathering the storm. And it's all good and it's all forward from here. Now, what gallery do you have for me, Cindy Gaylord?
We're talking about the Rife Gallery, yes. One of my favorite galleries downtown. Yeah. It is managed by Mary Gray, one of my very favorite people in the entire world. But we are. It's also supported by the Ohio Arts Council. So let's make sure we have that connection. But they have been able to curate all Ohio photographers. Now, photography really doesn't get as a lot of buzz anymore. It used to. But these are wonderful photographs. And it starts July 29th through October 17th. It is not crowded at the Rife Gallery. It is a beautiful space in
it's
which
pleasant.
To view art.
It's nice in the
it
middle of downtown.
It is pleasant.
Yeah.
Because I work downtown, I go over there for lunch. It's just a wonderful place. And if you didn't get to see the entire exhibition on the circus of Ohio artists doing their work about the circus, this is going to be of that vein. It's going to be fun. It's going to be stimulating. It's going to be evocative. Go down and look at this. It's great.
And it is free. There's so
it
much that
free.
People don't know enough about that's available to the community. And I keep making the point that all of our arts organizations work like crazy people to make things accessible and available. So show up and, you know, participate in that. I always think that the best way to deal with the financial crunch of the artist is to be quiet and buy tickets already. You know, and go to the box office.
Talk about movement. Get your butt up. Go downtown and buy a ticket somewhere.
Well, I would never use that kind of language, Cindy. But I thank you very much. We have Elaine on the phone who wants to talk about Ballet Met and to give thanks for their dress rehearsal policy. Speaking of outreach. Hello, Elaine. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And I really appreciate the generosity of Ballet Met in making the dress rehearsal available for seniors and students, as I understand it. Really, it has been a new experience for me because I really had not had much experience with dance before. I love theater and other areas, but I learned quite a bit from being able to participate in these programs, and I really appreciate and wanted you to know that we do care, and thank you again.
Thank you, Elaine, for your
thank
call.
Thank you very much, Elaine.
And thank you, Gerard Charles and Ballet Met, for doing that. You're one of many arts organizations that excels. And Joy Riley, you're busy looking for your papers because you told me in the break there are not
There's
one,
more.
Two, but there are three theater companies that are working
There's
right
still
now.
Musical theater going on right now. So Audubon Theater, Audubon Summer Theater, that's been around for years. They do superb work in the summer, and they go on and make a career on Broadway sometimes. Quite frequently. At the moment, they're playing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, about sort of six adolescent outsiders trying to spell. And then they'll have a farce, a French farce, on August the 5th, Don't Dress for Dinner. Evolution Theatre Company is doing Boy Meets Boy. It continues through the 24th. So
that's
not
a new
much
company, is that right?
Yes, it's a new
Tell
company.
Me about
that. It's resident. Well, it's some OSU people started it. It is resident now at the Rife Center and also does some things at other places. But this particular show, Boy Meets Boy. This is from 1936. This was an English farce, a London society wedding of the year between two men. Nobody thought anything of it at that time. And it's a musical comedy, and they're presented to upper-class men, you know, the sort of charming, wacko nonsense that's sort of very – it's a lovely evening of entertainment. And that is being performed in Studio One at the Rife Center. And I don't want to miss Available Light Theater, also going into musical, on August the 19th. It's producing Merrily We Roll Along.
Sondheim. Right?
Sondheim. Yep. And It's also at the Rife Center at Studio One. So lots of musical theater this summer.
You can get a lot of this information on our website, wosu.org/allsides. And I should point out that Joy Riley's podcasts, her pieces that are broadcast on theater, are available at wosu.org as well. Look for that. She has an extensive piece, an interview with the people involved with Boy Meets Boy, which, from what you're describing, is a lot of fun.
It's absolutely wonderful. It's the sort of English farce, black and white movie style, and it's musical theater, but it's a topic that today is sort of controversial, but back in those days was, nobody worried about
they
it.
They were too busy with the Duke and Duchess of Windsor 80 years ago. Cindy Gaylord, you mentioned earlier, and it just flew out of my head, so I'm going to have to think about that.
I'll be here.
Okay, you do that as well. What do you think we will be talking about as we go into our final stretch? If we did this program 1 year from now, what do you think, Gerard Childs, we would be talking about?
I think we'd probably be talking about another wonderful year that everyone has seen in theater of all types in Columbus. I'm sure there will be some changes. I mean, we are living art forms. We don't, we're not there in the preservation business. And so I think there's always exciting things that are happening that are new. There's some disappointments that will happen because we're human beings and we mess up sometimes. But I think always there's going to be something stimulating. I think there's going to be things that we're going to be looking forward to. Hopefully, we will have a recovering economy in the country as a whole. If not, we'll all have learned how to deal with it. And we still need art in our lives. We still need to be human beings, and we still need to have real human exchanges. And I think that art is a great way to stimulate that and a very important part of who we are if we're going to keep our sanity.
There's that British Stones right there. We're going to just go on with it and just keep working and keep going on. Joy Riley, what do you think a year from now in this program?
Well, I actually concur with what you're saying here, Charles, because I think for the arts, it's actually healthy to have challenges where money is concerned. That's when they start to become very innovative. That's when they start to forget about themselves and think about the whole artistic community and how they can collaborate. And I think this is going to be a period, as the 60s were, after the late end of the 60s, we started getting very exciting new creations that changed the nature of in the case of theater. And I think that may happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but the possibility's there.
And Cindy, what do you think?
I think that I hope within the next couple of years we finally realize how important art is in education, because I think that is the only way that we know how to problem solve now.
Starting with five-year-olds. Yes.
We've heard a lot about STEM, and I'm not going to disregard STEM, science, technology, education, engineering and math. I'm not trying to put that down, but nowhere in there does it say art can actually stimulate you to learn other things. So I'm hoping in the next year people realize that STEM has come to a certain point, that it needs the arts, it needs creative role play, it needs people who understand how to make connections that do not exist.
STEM needs to become STEAM.
STEAM,
thank
absolutely.
You, Joe. Oh, that's
yes.
A T-shirt. Good for you, Gerard. Yes.
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 So that's what I'm hoping, that we recognize that, and it's more of a grassroots effort, that people demand it, and that that our education system responds to it.
You shared with me an article from Newsweek that was fascinating about the uses of creativity and the genesis of creativity and how creativity is developing now. People are studying actually the mind and the brain.
Right.
And I'm going to put that on WOSU's Facebook page. So
fabulous.
I hope people will find it and link it there. It was fascinating. And it was really something things that I had never considered before, because my brain doesn't work as well as the people who wrote this article. But it was very much worth reading, and I thank you for that. And you look for it on WOSU's Facebook page as soon as I get back to my office in about 20 minutes, we'll get that done. As we wind down as well, I want to talk a little bit about the Ohio Arts Council's been in the news a little bit because they're moving. They're leaving the beautiful house they've had on Main Street for years, and they're going to downtown. Which is probably a good thing to have them in a downtown presence. But, Joy, you were mentioning how in the 60s the arts began to thrive again and a lot of creativity went on, a lot of new work was coming up. And that was the same time that the government really set up arts funding programs. The National Endowment came out
in the
mid-60s.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, 40-plus years on, are these organizations government-sponsored arts funding sources still viable? Are they becoming a club that people can beat each other over the head with? What's the role, if any, for these organizations anymore? Anybody want
to
weigh in with that one?
I think they're necessary, but I don't know that they realize they are at the moment. The people who create the funding, I just don't know. I mean, they're very, very necessary because you want to have the freedom to create what you are inspired to create, not to create in order to get money. Mm-hmm.
I often find that people think of arts funding as a giveaway. You know, they're right. Asking for money. How many big businesses come to town and get tax breaks, get huge amounts of leverage from the community to entice them here? There is nothing different in the form of the arts. It's a different mechanism, but it's exactly the same thing. They are helping to sustain a business that's a very viable business for the community. A tremendous number of people are employed by the arts, not even just directly in the arts, but the people that own businesses near theaters or sell drinks to the theaters or whatever it happens to be, supplies. I think that the arts are a very important part of our economy as well as part of our human resource. And I think that the government funding of the arts is critical. If you take away, businesses can't support the arts, and individuals can't support the arts, and now the government's not going to support the arts. There's no one to support the arts, and yet we are not allowed, basically, to charge the real cost of the business that we're in. And, you know, if you buy an airline ticket today, it's subsidized. If you drive your car, the roads are subsidized. It's not – you don't pay the full freight for all that stuff, and the arts – just a very important part of our lives that we need to make sure is still there.
If I buy a top-tier ticket to a Ballet Met performance in the Ohio Theater or in the Capitol Theater, how much of that money is covering the cost of putting on the performance?
It's hard to say in the case of a specific ticket, but basically Ballet Met right now earns 60% of its revenue.
That's very good.
Yes.
That's very good. Yeah.
That's our goal. We're a little bit under it this year, but, you know, it's certainly way above 50%. And so it's our goal to get return back to our 60-40 days, if possible, if not higher.
And yet, Joy, and yet, Cindy, people continue to create art in this community. There's no sign of any stoppage of people creating art and for people going to patronize it.
Yes, there are new theater companies popping up all the time right now with exciting and passionate goals. So I think it's actually very promising and very exciting what can happen because they're also embracing – and, of course, we have CATCO is about to introduce its whole new artistic look, bringing in a new Broadway tryout that's going to go to Broadway, hopefully, about not smoking.
Not smoking, right? Yes.
And all other kinds of things. So it's very exciting, actually.
And Cindy Gaylord, I remembered what I wanted to ask you. The Royal Shakespeare Company's collaboration here in Columbus. Can you both talk about that in our last couple of minutes?
Sure. Can you start with the OSU?
Yes. OSU, our MFAs have just come back from Stratford, where they've been taking classes, learning how to use Shakespeare, stand up for Shakespeare in the classroom, in the STEM classroom, among other things.
Right, yes.
STEAM now. We're doing that.
And STEAM classroom.
More energy.
Yes.
STEAM.
And one of their directors will be coming over later on, and the buzz is that they're going to be doing a Midsummer Night's Dream possibly in the Lincoln Theater. I haven't heard that for definite, but I've heard it from some people.
I'm delighted the Lincoln Theater is getting that kind of use. I think it's a beautifully restored facility. And I know, again, congratulations to Opera Columbus because their first production of the new season is going to be, I think it's a Court Vile evening, in the Lincoln Theater this fall. So I appreciate that. I know that the Shakespeare Project, they are building the Globe Theater in New York in an armory. But our Ohio State students and people are going to be very much involved with that and with bringing performances here to Central Ohio as well.
Yes.
With the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes.
This is partially the work of Karen Bell, our Vice President for the Arts Initiative, and Brian Edmonston on the faculty. And I know, Cindy, you've been following this as well.
I've been able to be a part of putting together their teaching modules for video that will be on the web. And it's really fascinating to see role-playing as a way to learn science. It's really an amazing thing. So that's – when you get down to it, to the actual classroom, these students are actually engaged, involved, vocal, interested – articulate, inquisitive. It's just a really great way to learn almost anything.
And on that great note, I have to say goodbye and thank Cindy Gaylord from WOSU's Art Scene, Joy Riley, WOSU's theater critic and professor of theater at The Ohio State University, and Gerard Charles, the ever-busy and successful artistic director of Ballet Met. Thank you all for your calls. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.